Welcome to What's New in National Defense Magazine, a podcast on military, homeland security, and technology trends. Available on Apple News. In this episode, National Defense discusses the AUKUS roadmap announcement, the Air Force's plans to accelerate production of the E-7A aircraft, and why the Navy must go all in on 3D printing. First, Part 2 on the road to provide Australia with nuclear-powered submarines began March 13th when the leaders of the three allies involved revealed an outline of the plan. The Australian Prime Minister, the United Kingdom's Prime Minister, and the President of the United States revealed details of the arrangement following 18 months of studies investigating how the arrangement will work. The broad brushstrokes are fine, but the devil lurks in the details, said one Australian expert. The agreement will unfold in three phases, beginning with Australian sailors training aboard U.S. boats beginning this year and on U.K. nuclear-powered submarines starting in 2026. Phase 2 will have Australian procure up to five U.S. Virginia-class submarines in the 2030s. Phase 3 will call for new purpose-built submarines in the late 2030s. Australia will deliver the first to the Royal Australian Navy in the early 2040s, the statement said. One potential stumbling block is the United States' restrictive international traffic in arms regulation, which is designed to prevent exports of the nation's most sensitive military technologies, the expert said. He said, unless the regime changes, the project won't succeed. A U.S. expert said that the plan failed to clarify that the Virginia-class submarines Australia will buy in the 2030s will be second-hand. The newest models under construction will have the Virginia payload module, a new capability that the Australians don't need. The plan calls for Australia to build port facilities at a naval base in Western Australia to support the scale of infrastructure required for nuclear-powered submarines. Australia subs will be built at their future submarine construction yard in South Australia, a fact sheet stated. Meanwhile, the numbers don't add up for Australia's budget, a U.S. expert said. The nation won't have the funds to buy up to five subs, build the infrastructure at shipyards, and develop and buy the new subs. Australia intends to send hundreds of workers to U.S. and U.K. shipyards, as well as scientists and engineers to technical facilities to gain the experience required to support nuclear-powered submarines, a White House fact sheet stated. One expert said he hopes to see more details from the Australian government on how it will start a pipeline of skilled workers needed to build and maintain the submarines. Another expert noted the U.S. has put billions of dollars into the submarine industrial base, but workforce and supply chain limitations will make producing more than two per year challenging. Recent U.K. Ministry of Defense strategy documents acknowledge that the United Kingdom was shifting its focus to the Indo-Pacific, and the AUKUS plan shows that the U.K. is stepping alongside the United States as a trusted partner in the region, one U.K. expert said. Next, Air Force officials are hoping to accelerate the production process for E-7A battle management and command and control aircraft, but it will be difficult to deliver the plane in fewer than 60 months, according to manufacturer Boeing. The Air Force announced the award of a $1.2 billion contract for the E-7A Rapid Prototype Program February 28th. According to the announcement, the first two airframes will begin production in fiscal year 2025, and the service intends to acquire 26 wedgetails to replace the service's 31 aging E-3 Sentry aircraft. The E-7A is the top modernization priority for the Pacific Theater, an Air Force official said. The official said the aircraft is significantly more capable than the E-3, which is increasingly difficult to maintain and fly. However, Boeing officials said there is little they can do to trim the plane's production time. It starts with a two-year process to construct the base platform. Then, Boeing spends 2 years chopping up the aircraft to install the electronic systems,
including the signature Wedgetail, the Northrop Grumman Multi-Role Electronically Scanned Array, or MESA sensor. It may be possible to shorten the lead time needed to acquire parts and prep for production if they have the money on hand, a Boeing official said. Since the two aircraft beginning production will be the first E-7s for the Air Force, the planes will have to go through Defense Department testing and FAA certification, which will add around 12 more months to the 48-month delivery process. The E-7 electronics are a substantial leap forward, Boeing officials said. The Northrop Grumman MESA sensor is powered by four 90-volt generators built into the jet engines and allows for managed directed energy, which provides increased tracking of tactical assets compared to the E-3's airborne warning and control system, a Boeing official said. Australia, Turkey, and South Korea currently fly E-7s, and the United Kingdom has begun production. The goal is to maximize interoperability, as the airframe sensor and much of the mission equipment is the same, a Boeing official said. The E-7A will be the first platform to have an open mission system software suite, the official said. Last, additive manufacturing, also known as 3D printing, is the future for the Navy, a senior official said. The Sea Service has made headlines installing 3D printers aboard ships, which allows sailors to make parts on the spot without having to wait for replacements. The senior Navy official predicted that ship manufacturers and their suppliers will have to switch to these advanced manufacturing techniques as the only way to solve the Navy's supply chain issues, calling additive manufacturing a necessity if the service is to deliver on ships and submarines in the coming years. The submarine sector alone is aiming to produce 3 boats per year, 2 Virginia-class subs, and 1 Columbia-class, in addition to modernization and sustainment programs. Between the Navy, the major shipbuilders, and their approximately 17,000 suppliers, there will be a shortage of some 100,000 workers on submarine programs over the next decade, the Navy estimated. The Navy is acquiring 3D printers for 6 different heavy metals. Additive manufacturing technology has the potential to radically reduce delivery times for new parts, sometimes as high as 95%, the official said. Last October, the Navy and contractor Austa USA cut the ribbon on the Additive Manufacturing Center in Virginia, bringing all the services-related programs under one roof. The consortium operating at the center will develop part recipes that will transition to industry for serial production, an Austa USA statement said. The goal is to have 3D printers up and running by March 2024, the Navy official said. In February, one additive manufacturer announced a partnership to 3D print titanium pump components for the Navy. Titanium is prized by the Navy for its exceptional corrosive resistance and is used extensively across all major pump applications, a press release said. Meanwhile, Naval Sea Systems Command has developed additive manufacturing processes for more than 500 approved parts used in ships and submarines. Most printers aboard submarines and ships out to sea use polymers rather than metals. The first metal 3D printer went aboard a Navy ship last summer, and the second will go aboard an amphibious ship soon. The next step is training, a Navy official said, as there has been little training in terms of the young engineers serving aboard ships. The push to spread additive manufacturing in the service will have to come from the top, another Navy official said. Check out our website and read more stories in the most recent issue of National Defense at www.nationaldefensemagazine.org and look for copies at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million stores across the United States.